We probably all know the Dr. Seuss character who avers that they do not like green eggs and ham. Well, I'm not particularly fond of ham, and thankfully I've never encountered green eggs. I presume that refers to the egg, not the shell. what I can what I can say with all confidence is I'm not fond of uncertainty. People are on a continuum about how comfortable they are with uncertainty, and I'm on the uncomfortable end of that continuum for sure. Uncertainty around small things, okay, but get me too far beyond things that probably don't really matter anyway, and I'm uncomfortable. As I was keeping a close eye on the weather during Hurricane Dorian, the first of this month, a phrase that was used repeatedly caught my attention. As the storm worked its way toward Florida and north, storm trackers repeatedly referred to the cone of uncertainty. Along with that, there were ongoing predictions about what would happen as the storm progressed, how, where it would go, where it would make landfall, would it stall out over the coast of Florida like it had over the Bahamas, so on and so on. Expectations, if you will. It occurred to me that the expectations we place on our lives, on the events and the people in them, are one way of trying to manage the cone of uncertainty that is our life. And make no mistake, our lives are a cone of uncertainty simply by their very nature. Now, this is not the time-worn, we could walk out of here and get hit by a bus thing. That's not likely in Muncie anyway, there aren't enough buses. But remember, unless at some point we become able to see into the future, we'll always be uncertain about some things. And we'll probably be more uncertain about things than what we think we are, even. Uncertainty's out there, whether we feel it or not. Life is change, and change brings with it uncertainty. It isn't too far-fetched, it seems to me, to say that uncertainty kind of is another name for change. What's more, in theory anyway, we use embrace change. We encourage spiritual growth and exploration. We say we prefer questions to answers. We seek to be open-minded and progressive and explore. Think about it. All of these things require a willingness to deal with uncertainty. Not only deal with it, but to embrace it. And there certainly is enough uncertainty to go around. Uncertainty about what will happen in the next several months and longer term in our own beloved community is probably on a lot of our lists. Marriage is a leap into uncertainty. Aging is a whole doggone curriculum in uncertainty, as is illness and death. Well, we're certain that we will die. Got my papers screwed up here. We don't know when or how. The state of the national economy isn't certain either, nor is the outcome of the 2020 election. I'm sorry, but I cannot promise you anything on that one. UU minister and writer, the Reverend Victoria Safford, writes, "This happens to us all the time. We crave order and control and predictable patterns in life. when we can't find them because they mostly do not exist, we get anxious and we make them up, imposing our will or our opinion or our expectations of ourselves and of others all over the place. And when the universe rears up on its hind legs and says, well, actually, no, you're not the boss of the world, and this is not how it's going to go, we are mightily disrupted. It happens all the time. Our bodies betray us, or rather, they betray our delusions of invincibility and eternal youth. The weather betrays us, or rather, betrays our ridiculous self-centeredness within the natural world. Hurricanes happen, floods, tornadoes. People betray us, or rather, they do what they must do. Lovers leave and loved ones die. Dreams are upended, expectations undone. Outcomes which we thought were guaranteed, health, wealth, longevity, life, liberty, and happiness, turn out to be nowhere written in the contract signed by the fates and sealed at our birth. As Reverend Safford's piece, I think, makes pretty clear, dealing with uncertainty is an unavoidable part of life. Because we can't see the future, we can't be certain exactly about what's going to happen day to day. Yeah, some people are okay with this, some of us not so much. Obviously, it's normal and even common for most people to be a bit uncomfortable with uncertainty. And the higher the stakes, the greater the discomfort. It doesn't mean that we're flawed or that we have somehow failed at all. Think about it for a minute. Where would you put yourself on that scale? Over here on the comfortable end, over there on the uncomfortable end? It probably depends on what day it is and what's the issue. Part of this is some of us tend to see uncertainty in terms of, well, I don't know, I can't know, but I think it's going to be okay. Others of us, it's more like, I don't know, I can't know, I don't think it's going to be okay. Go back and forth. So what can we do to respond to uncertainty that, in ways that are healthy, ways that are helpful, and make for wholeness? For a moment, think about what kinds of things you do to try and give yourself more of a feeling of control in the face of uncertainty. Each of us probably has our own list, but I offer these few for your consideration. Don't become paralyzed or stuck. That's far too easy to do in the face of uncertainty. We become that cow between two haystacks. Looking around, can't move, stuck in the middle. What we can do in the face of all of that is to do what we can do. And remember, it doesn't have to be some big splashy thing. If you're dismayed with uncertainty about how women's rights are being eroded, support Planned Parenthood and contact your legislators. If you worry if the Earth will survive climate change, figure out how you can refuse, reuse, and recycle more effectively. Support climate-friendly local initiatives. If you're facing uncertainty over a medical condition or procedure, learn all you can. Knowledge is powerful. If it's the 2020 election that vexes you, support your preferred candidate. If uncertainty is about the future of our beloved congregation are keeping you awake at night, participate in the process. There will be a number of events going on in the coming months. Listen, participate, speak up. Notice I put listen before speak up. Some of us use our emotions and our minds to create best case scenarios, to explore how we would feel in this case versus this case. Sometimes we check in with our gut. How does it feel in our body? Those feelings can help guide our decisions. Our decisions must be our own. But there's nothing wrong and a lot right about checking in with other people we trust. Whether or not they offer specific suggestions, they may bring up aspects of a particular situation that we hadn't thought of, or questions that hadn't occurred to us to ask, or they may just provide a listening ear as we talk our way to our own best solution. And as Jerry suggested in his introduction, Reverend Seth and I, along with our pastoral associates, are always happy to provide that listening ear. For those for whom religious and spiritual values are important, religion provides very significant means of coping. For many, perhaps most followers of the traditionally theistic Judaism, Christianity, Islam traditions, the belief that a loving and omnipotent God is in control is very, very important, even if we mere mortals can't figure out what on earth God's doing. But important nonetheless. And there is a non-theistic alternative to this that runs something like, the universe is such, just in and of itself, that everything works out according to the way it's supposed to. There's a built-in intelligence there that functions over the long haul. Religious rituals such as prayer and religious services, reading scripture, or meditating can provide familiar anchors in the face of uncertainty. And whatever we ourselves believe about such things, there's no denying the comfort they bring to those who practice them. One thing that's probably key for a lot of us, as it is for me, is confidence that however, whatever particular situation we're facing works out, our church family will be there for us. Whether it's by bringing in food, providing other practical assistance, just simply providing spiritual support and companionship. If all else fails, organize a drawer or a cabinet. The point is to control what we can. Or stop, have a cup of tea, let yourself feel deeply how really, truly okay things are right in this moment. Uncertainty, after all, belongs to the future. We can know what's right here, right now. Now, these are all relatively healthy ways, I think, of responding to uncertainty. There are unhealthy ones too, trying to control what we cannot and should not try to control, or escapism. But we know those too. Sometimes things don't go exactly as planned if we allow some uncertainty into our lives. And this doesn't mean we failed. And uncertainty is there whether we allow it or not. It simply is. Most people who do well with uncertainty learn that even if bad things happen, they can cope with them. We discover that we have the inner resources and the outer support to survive and to thrive. And by becoming more uncomfortable with uncertainty, we can get to let go of the problems associated with trying to control the uncontrollable, which takes a heck of a lot of energy. And we get to realize that we can deal with things even when they don't go perfectly. We may not like it. It may and sometimes will be hard, but we can do it. And we may even find that things sometimes work out better than we would have dared to expect. Bruce Kramer was a dean at St. Thomas University in the Twin Cities when a diagnosis of ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, upended his life. He writes about the hours immediately following that diagnosis. On the day of my diagnosis, we're in the car, my wife and I, with no pamphlet, no roadmap, not even a GPS to guide us. I try to project calm, to breathe deeply, but I begin to perceive a presence, overwhelming and towering over me, surrounding me, piercing me, stifling me. Suddenly, my future falls open like some bizarre, fantastic flower, blooming and dropping its petals all around me faster than I can collect them. Even more than in the doctor's office, we see clearly that there is no solution. There is no grand and final ending, no heroic rise or fall. Instead, we are required to make the best from the worst, working it until it can no longer be worked, accepting with as much grace and dignity as possible and ending in the face of pure chaos raining down into the order that just yesterday was ours. In these few hours post-diagnosis, the life we thought was ours explodes. Yet the epiphany of realization remains. I know now I must bring to bear everything I have learned upon this crisis, or we will be utterly destroyed. I know what I must do, but I do not know yet how I will do it. Above all, I know I cannot fix this. That would only be childish. All I can hope for is to work it, and perhaps some way forward will emerge. So where does that leave us? Life is change, and change is another name for uncertainty. We live in a cone of uncertainty simply because we live. We can handle uncertainty and more than that become more comfortable with it. We can live with dignity and grace in the face of uncertainty. Discomfort with uncertainty is normal, natural, and doesn't mean we're not coping. The key is how we respond to it. So may we launch our kites right into the cone of uncertainty. We know we can. I'm 10:15, I know I can.